Welcome on this beautiful June day, and whatever the weather is outside, I hope it's beautiful inside for you. I hope that the sun is shining and you're finding your inner happiness and a summertime phase of your life where you can look forward to simple pleasantries and relaxed adventures and time with your family and your loved ones, your friends, and perhaps a little time off from work. I'm going to be starting our message in just a few minutes, but I do want to remind those of you who were not on our call yesterday about the Christ Blessing Seminar that it has been posted. The recording has now been posted on the homepage of ChristBlessing.org. Later this afternoon, I'm going to send every one of you a link so that you can just click the link and go there. But if you just can't wait for that link and you want to hear it, it has been posted. So feel free to go there and listen. Whether or not you were planning to come to the course, I think you really, really need to listen to that call because it gives you vital information about what's happening to you in receiving the blessing, okay? Because it's like anything in life. Let's say you're learning tennis. You can't just learn it from your perspective. You have to learn it strategically from what the person on the other side of the net is likely to do or is doing. You need to learn some universal principles about what happens when you hit the ball with a certain amount of velocity at a certain angle and how the ball is going to travel. So even if you plan to only be a receiver of these blessings, you will have so much to learn from that call. So and it will really only be available for about a month while we are in the stage of presenting it to those who are coming to the course. So be sure and check it out and listen to it. It will mean so much to you. And I have already had comments from people who, unfortunately, at this point in their life, either due to the fact they can't get a vacation from work or they're caregivers for a family member that can't leave or some other insurmountable problem, they've already written and said, Glenda, this call changed my life. And I will be there at some point in the future. I totally know that this is something I want to be part of my life, not just on the receiving end, but 360 degrees. So take advantage of that, and let that be my gift to you. It was really, truly filled with the presence of Yeshua and the presence of several of our blessing givers who expressed how important it is for them to also share in giving a blessing. We're doing some great work, and again, I want to thank our blessing givers, the ones who are here on the call today and who show up every Sunday to either receive or join me in giving. And either way, it's all wonderful. Now, everyone is muted right now, but remember to ask a question. All you have to do is press 5-star. So just think about this as a 5-star experience, and you'll remember the code. If you have your own telephone muted, I can't do anything about that. You'll have to first unmute your own telephone, okay? So you have to take care of that end of the equation. But actually, there's really no need to mute your telephone once I've muted the whole call because that takes care of all of the interference and all of the background noise. So you could go ahead and unmute your own telephone just in the event all of a sudden you decide you want to ask a question and you don't want to waste time going through too many mechanics. So we will begin our call now and our message, and I want to continue this message with where we left off last time about the consciousness of life. It's such an important link in understanding how love works. Love is a huge, huge subject that means something different to everybody. But ultimately, it's the very energy and intention and power from which everything was created. And it's really the living presence of God retained in all created things, in all people, all life forms. Every presence in this universe has retained its unity and its presence with God through the love by which it was created. Every newborn child comes to us through love. But now, when we look at that, we're talking about the universal side of love. And unfortunately, too many times we confuse that with expressions of love or desires about love we would like to receive or our opinions about what love looks like. Now, there aren't enough colors in the rainbow to describe all the expressions of love, all the desires about love, and all the ways it looks like. And I don't say that just referring to seven colors of the rainbow. As a color scientist, I happen to know there are over 3,000 shades of yellow. And and so it goes. When I say colors of the rainbow, we're up in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of little integrals of frequency and vibration. As a matter of fact, we don't even see all of these little integrals and frequencies with our eyes. And one of my almost lifelong studies, I guess I have to say lifelong because the first thing that really inspired me to be an artist as a baby was looking at rainbows. But then later on when I was in college, I began to do study the science of optics, which is color science. And I began to discover the rainbow that is inside every color, inside every shade of color. If you pass it through a spectroscope, you will see that not only every color, but every shade of every color has its own rainbow, which is really amazing to contemplate. And I like to think about that in terms of all the shades of love, all the expressions of love, and all the ways it can be interpreted. But just as all the colors in the rainbow come from light, so do all the expressions of love come from this universal force of love. That is the very presence of God in all things, the force and the power from which all of creation came to be and still is. And unites us. Sometimes in order to get to that love, we have to get beyond our limited perceptions and expressions of what we think love ought to look like or feel like or be like. And then sometimes we're really, really shackled by the fact that not every expression of love is appropriate for every person. For example, we could really admire someone in the workplace, but we have to have a restrained expression of that, or we might be considered inappropriate in our expressions, or at the very least, we might be considered a political animal, really, really playing up to that person. We've all been there, done that. You know what I'm talking about. An obvious example is the different ways we would express love to a little puppy versus a rattlesnake. If a rattlesnake shows up on my back porch, I call animal control, and I love him by having him relocated out to the desert where he can have a happy life and do his job in the whole chain of nature. If it's a little puppy, I throw him a ball and a puppy biscuit and hopefully pick him up in my arms and just cuddle him. So not every expression of love is appropriate to everything and everybody. And we've all learned this the hard way, and sometimes we build up a lot of, well, almost broken hearts, you might say, because we lose faith in love because some expression of love didn't work. Well, love always works. It's the expression of love, the anticipation of love, the expectation of love that we need to learn and refine and forgive when one attempt didn't work. And now I've told you several times in my calls about my desire to perfect, but at first even experience Yeshua's teachings that we wouldn't need to have insecticides to keep the bugs out of our home. We could simply direct them with love to be where they belonged. Well, I thought, what a great idea. I don't want these chemicals in my home, and I don't want to cause harm to another living creature. So how wonderful that would be. So I began loving the bugs. Well, guess what? I had 10 times too many bugs because my expression of love was a wrong one. In other words, I couldn't get the expression right. And then if I would push them away, well, I would find they would be resistive, kind of like if you swatted a bumblebee, it'll come right back at you. Okay, so I was having a lot of love expression management problems with these creatures. And I'll just give you the extremely short version of a story I told you some weeks ago about my experience with a baby fly while I was painting. But because of that experience where he was observing me paint and I was observing how marvelous in this tiny little creature that was hardly bigger than a polka dot was all this perfection of a fly. Well, what we did is we built a connection. And after we built that connection began to inform me about how to build connections that were appropriate with other flies. And I began to explore that. Not too many days later, we had been doing a barbecue in the backyard and had attracted a lot of flies, and we'd been going B in and out the door a lot. So our house was probably, we had 20, 30 flies in the house. And so I thought, well, this is a good way to experiment. I wonder if I can transfer that connection to these flies. And so instead of me using one of my preferred expressions of love, something that means something to me, instead I just kind of neutralized it. And I built a connection with one of these flies by extending my finger out and just letting him know, would you like to go outside where you can live a happier life? They started landing on my finger. And they started going out. And I escorted maybe 10, 20 flies out the door. And finally I thought, wow, this is working so well. I wonder if I could just open the door and the rest of them would go out instead of more of them coming in. They did. They all just flew out the door. And so that was a connection. Now, what is that connection? That's what I want to talk to you about today. That connection is simply consciousness. If you really get down to the basic meaning, the root meaning of the word consciousness, it means that with which we connect. And if you think about it, I think too often we associate consciousness with thinking and brain functioning and all this mental type intelligence that we process, and we think that's consciousness. But think about it this way, and especially with today's world and all this data that's flooding in on us through the internet and through other sources. Oh my gosh, you can't hold it all in a bucket. You know, and there's so much information coming in. What do you do with it? Well, that's not consciousness. That's just data. Let's compare that to how we build a sentence. Let's say a sentence is made up of 15 words. Well, the words don't communicate. Each word holds a kind of embedded symbolic meaning. But what actually allows you to communicate with those words is the arrangement of the words, the syntax of the words, and the tone in your voice that indicates whether you're asking a question, making a statement, or a proclamation. In other words, it's the way you connect the words that delivers the communication. It's the way you connect the words that builds the consciousness of the sentence. That's what consciousness is. And all of life is interconnected through consciousness. And through the cultivation of life consciousness, I'm finding that we find more neutral and effective ways to connect with love without running the risk of selecting inappropriate expressions of love, expressions that cause people either to back away or misunderstand us or whatever. You know, you've all experienced the stickiness of an expression of love that was misunderstood. So I'm finding that through the exploration of our connectedness, the answers are all being revealed, whether it's how to get the insects out of my house or how to have the most appropriate and beneficial relationship with anybody, absolutely anybody. Whether it's someone you meet in the post office waiting in line or whether it's your most loved person in your life is through the exploration of consciousness. Now, how does that relate to this blessing? Well, it relates very powerfully to what this blessing is all about. Because what Yeshua did 2,000 years ago is the same thing he's doing for you in the blessing, is he's rebuilding your connections. You see, all of the universe is connected. But we humans alone seem to have the free will to choose to be disconnected. You look at the insects, they're not disconnected. I'll stand on a pier and watch a school of fish. They all travel in one motion as if they were one fish. The birds, watch a flock of birds fly around. They're not disconnected. Look at, and getting back to insects, all it takes is for one ant to get in your home and discover a source of food. You turn around, you think, oh, well, that one ant is harmless. You come back 20 minutes later and there's 200 ants in a parallel line coming in to get that morsel of food that one ant discovered. It's almost as if they have one body, one mind. But we as humans don't behave that way because we were given free will by our Creator to explore and fulfill two things. Actually, three or four things, I think. But the first two things that are very important is, one, is the sovereignty we were given. You see, we could not be created in the image of God were we not given personal sovereignty over our life. And the other thing that we've been given is each a unique purpose and appropriate personality for that purpose, so that each one of us is a thread in a giant loom that nobody else will do your purpose if you don't do it. And the other thing is that we were given the right to go out and have an adventure and discover this specialness of ourselves, which we all did. And then we were given selectivity over how we connect with love, so that in our selectiveness, we can refine our purpose, we can express and hold to our sovereignty, we can continue to have an experience of life, and then through all of this, cultivate through this huge mountain of accumulated experience, greater and greater consciousness. So this is the human opportunity. It's also the human challenge. And we've come to a point where we've carried the adventure to its far point, where if we go any further, we're just simply going to separate too far from one another and from God, and even from who we are. If we carry it any further, we'll lose our purpose, because our purpose is really embedded in our connection with one another. And if we separate too far from God, our sovereignty will lose all of its meaning, and it'll just be expressed in some kind of self-indulgent ego, which is pointless and destructive. So it's time we reconnect it. It's time to explore and embrace all of our connections, the connections within ourselves. And as Yeshua said, he just left us with two commandments. Love God with all your heart, which means reconnect. And love your fellow man as yourself, which means reconnect. And in all of that, be true to yourself, which means reconnect. He left us with the presence of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has the ability to activate and restore our connections. And an interesting thing about the transition from Yeshua being with the apostles and then the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, it's an interesting transition because after the resurrection, he was with them for 40 days. And in those 40 days, they became probably more dependent on him than ever, more clinging on him than ever, because they had experienced what it felt like to lose him. And he kept saying to them, hey, you guys, you got to go out to the world. You've got to find your own connection. You've got to find your own purpose. And he left again. Actually, he didn't leave. He's been with us through the ages. And I'm only one of millions he's appeared to. I just happened to be one that decided to take up the torch, light the way, and do the work. But he's appeared to millions, and he's here, and you can feel him. When you come to this seminar, you will feel him. Many saw him, and everyone felt him. But the thing is, he needed to have closure with the apostles because they were so clingy and so dependent on him to demonstrate after he ascended. They got so depressed. They were just hanging around moping and weeping and lamenting over the loss of their beloved master and teacher. When the Holy Spirit came, and it brought them back into their union with God. This is what Yeshua had promised them. You will be reunited. And be reunited with yourself, with God, and with others. This has been his work for 2,000 years. And this is what makes this blessing unique among all the other blessings you could receive. There are many blessing givers out there, and they all do it each in their own way, conveying, I'm sure, a specialness of divine energy and divine love, and many people have received wonderful benefits from it. But what takes this blessing further, and the blessing course, is the understanding, literally, actually the science of spiritual understanding of how to rebuild all of our connections from the inside out. This is why we ask you to sit, and I just want to take this moment to remind you, you sit with your bare feet on the ground in a chair with a comfortably vertical spine so that we can use the forces of gravity, which is part of the universe as well, that connects us with the universe. We make the top of our head available to the entry of the Holy Spirit. We put our prayers in our heart. We let go of the mind, which is an instrument designed to deal with disconnection. We put it on a park bench. Let it sit over there. We be in our heart with our prayers, knowing that if we miss something, God knows all of our prayers anyway. And this gets back to why Yeshua was reluctant to teach people how to pray. His apostles wanted to know. And he wouldn't give them the words and wouldn't and wouldn't and wouldn't. And I'm sure he didn't give them the Lord's Prayer until after he first taught them the very things you're learning in this course. And that is, first you must connect. You see, God hears all of our prayers and does his best to answer. But when we pray from disconnection and a belief in disconnection, God also has to honor that part of the request. You see, it's just as important what you pray from as what you pray for, because both will be answered. If you pray from hurting for a release of pain, your pain will be released for a short while. But what you prayed from has to also be honored. See, that's the catch-22 in the way most of us pray. We pray from our scarcity. We pray from our poverty, wanting to have abundance. And so what happens is we get a little bit of abundance, but it's never enough. And the scarcity or the poverty returns, and it's cyclical. And we keep saying, my God, why do you partially answer my prayer? Well, you see, we have become lost in our disconnection. God didn't disconnect from us. We separated as part of our adventure. We basically said to our father, like a teenage child, hey, look, you know, you've been a great dad, but I'm going to take it from here because I got to build my life. I got to know who I am. And reluctantly, Dad says, well, okay, just know that I love you. I'm here for you. Come home when you're ready. But we forget the way home because we walked into a deep, dark forest and we didn't take a string with us. We got way out on the end of that forest. We didn't have a compass. And speaking of compass, that's something you're going to learn about the directions within your body. You have built-in directions in your body. You're going to learn about that in the Blessing Course. I just can't. The thing is, I would love to tell all of you on the telephone. I would love to do. If I could do a teleconference by video and get this beamed around the world, I would. But there is no way of grasping this information without a direct transference of it, which is why Yeshua sent the apostles out to call others and lay hands upon others as the transference of the Christ energy to others. This is why we must do it one to another. And he said, whatsoever you've done to one of the least of these, you've done to me. And I'm sure he also said, you've done from me as well. It's a personal thing. And I wish I could just reach hands across the water. I wish my arm was that long. Perhaps someday I'll be able to travel and do this. I don't know. Right now we have to use the most efficient means we can. But for today, for receiving the blessing, I want to encourage you to be in your heart and pray from that which you want, not just for that which you want. Consider that you have it. Consider that you are it. And know that you have within your whole body, heart, soul, and being everything it takes to reconnect. And this is the power of the Holy Spirit, that reconnection can occur through the grace of the Holy Spirit and the love of God and the guidance and the companionship of Yeshua. And this has happened to millions and millions of people through the years since the coming of Christ's life. Allow it to happen in the blessing. And what the blessing will actually bring you, the real thing it will bring you, is reconnection. Now, whatever results from that reconnection will be large or small according to your readiness for it. And the reason I offer blessings again and again every week is because I know that it takes a while sometimes to rebuild enough connections to have a major result. And sometimes it takes rebuilding a lot of connections to even restore our hope and our faith. And just know that Yeshua said, I will never leave you. And he meant that because he wanted us to know, I will never contribute to your disconnection. I am here to build your reconnection. That's what I came for. And to the extent that there is life and breath in my body, I will also be here to help you with your reconnection. And hopefully even beyond that. But for now, I just want you to understand that's what this is about. And so we don't know what will come from your blessing. For each one of you, it will be different in terms of the tangible result. But in terms of the mechanics of what happens, it's the same for each one of you. It is the energy and the spirit of reconnection, and that is the consciousness of life. That's what allowed me to rebuild faith with those little flies so I could make a conscious connection with them. That's what has allowed my love for others to become more and more appropriate and appropriately refined so that it's more effective and more productive. That's what has allowed more and more healing to occur and inspirations to come every day before the blessing call. I've had lots of people write me and post comments on Facebook, Glenda, how do you get your topics for this call? Because it's absolutely amazing. Every week I come on and what you talk about is exactly what I needed. Well, where it comes from is I don't plan ahead. I meditate right for about 5 minutes before the call to get in a state of connection. I say my own private prayer to Yeshua and ask for the Holy Spirit to be present with me. In other words, I'm building my connections. And then I do my best to get on the call a little early so I'm feeling the physical connection with all of you. And the physical connection with this, this medium we're using for communicating. And all of the revelations come from our connection. So really, you're an important input into what we talk about. So that's why it means something to you. And that's an example of how connection and consciousness are inseparable. You could have 185 IQ and not be conscious if that 185 IQ was only focused upon facts, figures, data, and technical applications, which is why so many of our geniuses are not coming up with the answers for our environment and our world. And then all of a sudden, a child will have the answer. This is why. This is the answer. Because a little teenage boy in a science fair came up with the answer for how to dissolve all of these plastic bags that are building up in the ocean and to dissolve them in a biodegradable way that would release everything they're made from back to nature and relieve the contamination of the oceans. This little kid's going to be a billionaire, and he deserves it. And I know that from his consciousness, he will apply more and more understanding. Now, this is what I'm seeing in so many young people coming onto the earth today, is they're less focused upon the old-style intelligence we measured with IQ tests, and more focused upon the very thing I'm talking about today, which is consciousness. Consciousness is what will bring the answers. And forget about what you ever rated on an IQ test. It doesn't matter if you rated a 102 or 182. If you don't have a body of consciousness around you, it's useless. And no matter how little you might have scored on an IQ test, if you have a huge body of consciousness, that small amount of IQ could solve many problems in the world. Not to mention many problems just surrounding you in your relationship. Oh, I could tell you so many stories about the power of consciousness. I think I'll just bring in more and more stories in the days ahead. because we can't say too much about this, because this is part of what your blessing is all about. But we've run on to way too late on my talk. We need to actually deliver the blessing, because there are those around the world waiting silently who couldn't connect on the telephone, and we can't keep them waiting any longer. Since we've covered the protocol already, just be in your hearts now. Be ready to pray your prayer. Shoes and socks off. I will pray my prayer to Yeshua, and then for 3 minutes I will conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit on your behalf. When that is done, just go and rest for 7 minutes and assimilate. That's all we ask of you, just assimilate. Because remember, this is about reconnection. It's about assimilation. Dear Yeshua, the one who has restored us to our wisdom and our true enlightenment and brought us back to our true conscious union with God, we ask that you pass through our body, soul, and being the power and the spirit of that consciousness today, the power and the spirit of the love from which that consciousness is built. For that is the very function of consciousness, is to connect us with all parts of the love of God, for which our universe is one single and simple expression. We thank you for being with us, our friend, our brother, our teacher, and our brilliant, immortal example for all that we are and can be. Amen. The transmission is complete. Now, go and assimilate, rest, and be with God. God bless. Have a happy week. And I'll be with you again next Sunday. Bye-bye from me.